Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Our hope is in the return of Christ. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for the coming again of Jesus Christ. And it's not a hope like, man, I sure hope that happens. It's a hope like, that is going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know for certain that it is going to happen.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23, in a message titled, The Spirit's Intercession. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Of course, he's talking about death that is sown into the ground. In dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Then he says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So this is the glory that is yet to be revealed, that the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared with this glory. We're going to be given a glorified body that is like unto the glorified body possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way in writing to the Philippians. He says, we're looking for Christ who's going to come back and he's going to change our lowly bodies. He's going to change our corruptible, our weak bodies, and he's going to fashion them like unto his glorious body. So this is what Paul is saying. There's something coming for us that's so wonderful. It's so glorious that whatever suffering we're experiencing today, it cannot be compared with that. So there's the glorification of the body, but then there's also creation's deliverance that is going to take place in what we call the millennium and ultimately in the establishing of the new heaven and the new earth. But notice what he says. He speaks of creation. He says, for we know in verse 22 that the whole of creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Groaning and laboring with birth pangs, all of creation. You know, Jesus said an interesting thing. He said, in the days that would just precede his return to the earth, he used the same kind of terminology, that there would be birth pains. And of course, the thing with birth pains, you know, is that as the closer you get to the moment of birth, the more intense, the more frequent the pains are and the more intense they are. And I know this, not because I've experienced it myself, but because I coached my wife through 4 childbirths. And so I have a very vivid picture in my mind of what that was like, where you start off and the, you know, what are you doing? You're looking at the time between the contractions. And, you know, when there's 30 minutes or whatever, you say, okay, well, we've got time and let's start getting packed and we'll head to the hospital. But, you know, when you get down to 3 minutes, 2 minutes, that kind of thing, you know that you're right there. And as those birth pains intensify. And, you know, I wonder as we look around the world today at creation, it seems that these birth pains are becoming more and more frequent and more intense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when was the last time we saw anything like or similar to what just happened this past week on the East Coast. Well, the last time I think was 1938 when something similar to this happened. It was even more serious back then. But still, you know, this stuff that's happening in the frequency with the things that happened in the Midwest a few months ago with the tornadoes and, you know, the earthquakes and these kinds of things. Now, some people want to dismiss this and say, well, you know, it's just sort of coincidental. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. But I know in my lifetime, I don't remember anything like this. I don't remember anything like the frequency and the intensity. People say, oh, there have been earthquakes forever. Well, of course there have been earthquakes forever. But there haven't been earthquakes that leveled entire nations forever. I mean, those are few and far between. But they're becoming more and more frequent. What is that? Well, it's what Paul's talking about here. All of creation itself is groaning and travailing and laboring in birth pangs until what? Well, they're waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. They're waiting for Christ to return and to glorify his people and to establish his kingdom. Now, the New Testament doesn't give us a whole lot of detail about this restored kingdom that Christ is going to reign over when he returns, but the Old Testament is packed with pictures of that. And probably the most vivid pictures of it are given to us in Isaiah. So just for your information and for further reading later on, Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the 35th chapter, and the 65th chapter, each one of those chapters talk about this millennial kingdom, this period of time when Christ will reign on the earth from the city of Jerusalem upon the throne of David over the house of Jacob, and the conditions that will be experienced during that time. So these are all the things that Paul is alluding to here. He's going back and taking for granted that there was at one time everything was perfect, but then the creation was subjected to futility. But God allowed that because he had a greater purpose. That's essentially what Paul is saying. So then he goes on and he says, in verse 24, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. This is the hope that we have as the people of God. This is the hope that every Christian has held throughout each and every generation. The hope of the glorified state, the hope of the glorified state in regard to their own personal lives, receiving that glorified body that Christ would give us upon our being gathered to him, and the hope of a restored creation. And it's coming. It's all going to come. You know, I'm reading again through the prophets, and I'm in Isaiah right now. And I have to say, for myself, when I read through the prophets, even though there's so much that pertained, you know, particularly to the people at the time, there are always those little sections that are prophetic in the sense of they're speaking out into the future. They're speaking about how things are ultimately going to be. And as I read through those things, I get encouraged. I get excited.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, Now, let's continue with today's message.
I just think, okay, Lord, this hasn't happened yet. But all of these other things that you said would happen have happened. And since the other things you said would happen have happened, I have absolute confidence that the things that have yet to happen will happen. And we can see it. God's track record is perfect. He's never predicted something that hasn't happened. And we can go all the way back in history. And we need to take encouragement from that. All of the details about the coming of Christ, what do they tell us? They tell us that just as God fulfilled those things right down to the very detail, he's going to fulfill the remaining prophecies right down to the very detail. And so this is the hope that we have as Christian people. Our hope is in the return of Christ. Our hope is in the establishing of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Now, those outside of Christ, that's not their hope, is it? What are people hoping in today that aren't trusting in Christ or not looking for that? Well, people are hoping in government a lot of times. They're hoping in these days. I think things are much more political these days than they used to be in this country anyway. And so people are hoping in a particular political party, or they're hoping in a political philosophy or something like that. But how quickly their hopes are dashed to bits. You know, just at the moment when they think that it's all going to come together, everything just seems to unravel right before their eyes. And it just happens over and over and over again. So our hope is not in a utopian dream. We're not hoping that someday somebody's going to come along with the perfect political philosophy or the perfect social philosophy, or, you know, finally everybody's going to get together and realize that we all need to love each other and we need to provide for each other and we need to share all of our goods. It's never going to happen. That's the reality. It's never going to happen. And there have been plenty of experiments already in the past to prove that it's not going to happen. We just keep doing the same experiment over and over again, and it keeps failing over and over again. So God help you. If you have some sort of hope in a utopian dream, get another hope, because that one, there's nothing to it. But, you know, we have to also realize that our hope is not in the church establishing the kingdom, or the more modern terminology that's being used is redeeming the culture. A lot of talk about this today. Used to be expressed more in the terms of, you know, as I said, the church establishing the kingdom. And there's a whole theological point of view that used to be quite popular. It's died down somewhat these days. But the point of view was that the church was going to get stronger and stronger as time went on and have more and more influence over the culture until the whole world was more or less Christianized or brought under sort of the dominion of the kingdom through the church. And then ultimately, in some cases, Christ would return. In other cases, Christ wouldn't necessarily need to return because the church would do the job of ruling the world for him. Anybody who still holds to that particular point of view, I think they need to get a new prescription for their glasses. They need to, you know, look a little more, bit more clearly. There are people who still hold the view. I'm astounded that people hold that view. But a more current version of it, and not as extreme as that, but a more current version of it is the idea of the church redeeming culture. And we're hearing a lot about that today. And I think, again, this can be balanced out, but I think, again, some of the extreme perspectives on it are very similar to what I was just saying, that, you know, that it's the church's job to sort of take over the culture and lead the culture. And oftentimes they refer back to the Reformation period and talk about how, you know, back in the Reformation period, the church sort of led the culture. Well, the church, yes, but it wasn't the New Testament church. It was a corrupted church that was greatly influencing the culture. So the idea of redeeming the culture, that's not our hope. That's my whole point. That is not our hope. We're saved with this hope. What hope is it? Our hope is in the return of Christ. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for the coming again of Jesus Christ. And it's not a hope like, man, I sure hope that happens. It's a hope like, that is going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know for certain that it is going to happen. Christ is going to return. As sure as he came the first time and died for the sin of the world and rose again from the dead and ascended back to heaven. I was just reading in Acts this week. They said this same Jesus who ascended like this is going to come in like manner just as you saw him go away. Can there be anything more clear than that? It's this same Jesus. He's going to come back. That's what the scripture says. Now, that's our hope. But listen, here's the balance. But while we await Christ's return, we are to be busy. There are things that we are to do. Well, what are we to do? Well, first of all, of course, we're to preach the gospel. And we are to make disciples from among all people groups. When the scriptures say, you know, go into the world, make disciples of all nations. They didn't have nations back at that time like we know them today. The Greek word is ethnos, which is a word for ethnicity or ethnic groups. So the Great Commission was to go into all of the world and make disciples from all of the different ethnic groups all around the world. That is what we are to do today. That's what the church has been doing from the very beginning as it's followed the instruction of Christ, and that's what we are to be doing today. But here's another side of it. We are to seek the welfare of the towns, cities, states, and nations we live in. When the children of Israel were sent into captivity, God told them, now look, you're going to be here for a while, so settle down. And, you know, live life as you would normally. And he said, and seek the welfare of the place that I've put you in. And so, you know, we're sort of in a position like that. We're sort of like Israel. Israel was exiled out of the land. Of course, they were there as a disciplinary thing. That's different than our situation. But we're still here on earth. We're not in heaven. And while we're here on earth, we are to seek the welfare of the surrounding communities that we live in. So we're to seek the welfare, like I said, of the towns, the cities, the states, the nations. That's why, as Christians, we need to be involved in the world. So this is the balance on this whole idea of redeeming culture. And some people are using it in the balanced way. Other people, I think, are misusing it and having an unrealistic view. The church is never going to take over the world. The church is never going to convert the entire world. We know from Scripture already that most of the world is going to come under the judgment of God. But that's not happened yet. And so here we are. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to make disciples from among all the nations. And we're here to seek the welfare of the places that God has put us as his people, as his church. So we can't really benefit our communities if we withdraw from them. We have to be engaged. We have to be involved. We have to be involved in politics. We have to be involved in government. We have to be involved in the academic world. We have to be involved in the arts and things like that. Because if we're not, we're going to be overwhelmed by evil. We're going to be overwhelmed by darkness. We're going to be overwhelmed by wicked and perverse political philosophies. We're going to be overwhelmed by oppressive and wicked governments. We're going to be educated by perverted and wicked ideas. And we're going to be inundated through the arts with corruption and things like that. Well, that's kind of a picture of where we're at, isn't it? And we're there partially because of the disengagement of Christians from these things. So as long as we're here, priority number one is to preach the gospel and to make disciples, but we all have to live in this world. And we all need to do what we can through prayer and through influence, through the positions that we hold at our jobs or whatever the case might be. We need to, as Jesus said, we need to let our light so shine before men. We need to remember that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And as we wait for the Lord to return, we don't know exactly when he's coming. As we wait for him to return, we stay busy with our mission. Primary objective, get the gospel to people. See people saved. If culture is going to be redeemed, it's going to be redeemed one soul at a time. Because you can't have a redeemed culture without redeemed people. You got to get people saved and built up, discipled in the faith, and then out into the world being effective, being lights. As Paul said in writing to the Philippians, lights that are shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So all of this comes down to this is our hope, and this is what we're eagerly waiting for, and we need perseverance. We need perseverance. Why? Because as we wait for the fulfillment of this hope, this is the context. As we wait, we suffer. We suffer, as we looked at previously. We suffer persecution. We suffer hardship. We suffer sickness. We suffer emotional grief and difficulty. And therefore, we need perseverance. And this is where Paul informs us that the Spirit is the one who's here to help us persevere through the times of suffering. And so he says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So he's talking about our weaknesses, and he's talking about how this hope in the return of Christ and the redemption of our bodies and the restoration of creation to God's original intention, that's one of the things that keeps us going and persevering through the challenging times. But the other thing, it's the Spirit that helps us in our weaknesses. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Thank God for that. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What a beautiful, wonderful truth that Paul is letting us in on here.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So Cheryl, for this month, we are going to offer a book that you wrote. And this book is called When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. And the subtitle is Discovering the Truth About Who You Are in God's Eyes. Tell us real quickly about this book.
Well, you know, I found that women hear lies constantly. And some of those lies we actually believe. And we've allowed those lies to intimidate, to form us, and to form how we feel and about ourselves and how we relate to others. And God wants to set us free from those lies, that we might hear from him the truth, that he loves us, that he died for us, that he is for us, that he's going to use us for glory. And when we believe the truth and hear the truth, we're set free to love each other and to live a really exciting life through Jesus Christ.
So, all right, this is our book offer for the month. So, especially ladies, you want to check this out, and it's going to be a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order Cheryl's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you Cheryl's book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.